It's official, Air Force One is getting a makeover. On Tuesday, the Pentagon said they've handed Boeing a $3.9 billion contract to construct new jets for use by the U.S. president. The company will build two 747 aircraft to be delivered to the White House by 2024. A new informal deal was reached between Boeing and the White House in February. The contract on Tuesday follows the outlines of that deal.
Celebrations on board this Ethiopian Airlines plane as it made history on Wednesday by becoming the first commercial flight from Ethiopia to Eritrea in 20 years. The flight cements peace efforts between the once warring nations a week after they ended their military standoff. Families separated from loved ones since the start of a brutal border war sat next to dignitaries as they prepared to land in the Eritrean capital of Asmara.
The European Union is set to hit Google with yet another record-breaking antitrust fine. It'll probably exceed last year's $2.8 billion penalty over its shopping service. This time, it's over its Android operating system for mobile phones, which regulators say is pushed on phone makers in a way that makes it too difficult for companies that aren't Google to get their apps on it. Think alternatives to Google Maps or the Google search engine, which often come pre-installed on the phones. The EU's punishment likely won't make a dent.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's July 19th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Here we are again with another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Thanks for being with us this morning. On the program today, it is Thought Leader Thursday. Chuck Garcia is here from Associated Bank. You know, you and me, we use the apps that help us do our banking now in services like Zelle and also PayPal and what are a couple of others. You know, you use technology to do banking and make it easier. Now, the big banks are doing it to make their jobs easier, make it easier for companies also to do banking with each other. And that's going to be the focus with Chuck this morning in our Thought Leader conversation. A little bit later on, David Hochberger will be here from Pearl Mortgage. We'll talk about mortgage rates and perhaps some other issues as well with Dave. David will be here at about 5:35, between 5:35 and 5:40 this morning here on The Opening Bell in our second segment. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, this morning futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street. Again, the market's looking for direction in the U.S. this morning, off about 39 on the Dow, off just about a quarter on the NASDAQ. Same story with the S&P this morning as we head to 8:30 Chicago time. Around the rest of the globe, markets are generally lower in Europe, with the FTSE the only of the markets higher, but they're only barely up just a quarter percent, and the DAX and the CAC are lower as well. And in Asia, markets are generally lower as well, with the Hang Seng off nearly a third, Shanghai off about a half a percent, and the Nikkei off just a fraction, down about 29 points. Oil is trading at $68.01 a barrel, and that's down about 75 cents. A couple of stories before we get going this morning. Important stories from the world of business and from the economy and consumers. Investigation has found that the U.S. government's Highway Safety Agency failed to quickly act on consumer complaint that could have delayed recalls of those dangerous Takata airbag inflators. A report by the Transportation Department's Inspector General also found that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration process for monitoring recalls is not adequate. The report released yesterday also says the agency isn't verifying recall completion rates or making sure manufacturers file proper documents. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says while he finds Holocaust denial deeply offensive, he doesn't believe that that content should be banned from Facebook. Speaking with Recode.net, Zuckerberg, who is Jewish, said in an interview published yesterday that he thinks there are things that different people get wrong. He added that he doesn't think they are intentionally getting it wrong. And at that point, the interviewer cut in and said that in the case of Holocaust deniers, it may be intentionally wrong. The remarks sparked criticism, including from the Anti-Defamation League, which said in a statement that Facebook has a moral and ethical obligation not to allow people to disseminate Holocaust denial on its platform. Zuckerberg said offensive content isn't necessarily banned unless it is to organize harm or to attack someone. It is Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell. Thought Leader Thursday every week. And this week, Chuck Garcia is here. He's the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Let's start our conversation about technology with technology this morning, because I know that we talked in the past about how banking is moving toward being able to make payments same day, quicker, faster, and now automatically, like immediately. What's the new technology that will enable some of these transactions to happen in real time?
Well, a lot of this has been going on in Europe in particular for some time. The United States is really trying to rapidly catch up. The Federal Reserve, along with some of the, in particular, the larger banks and the payment networks, over the last 2-3 years has really put an emphasis on faster payments. So we have same-day ACH today, but even taking that to the next level and building rails and capabilities of immediate payment. So not only individuals, you and I paying one another, which is a more common theme today, but corporations being able to move money, receive money, literally almost instantaneous.
And what's the jargon that we're going to use for this? Is it called real time? Is that how people are going to describe it?
You'll hear faster payments and real time payments.
Okay.
It really is the jargon that's coming out today. So today, when you think about it, a wire transfer is fairly close to a real time payment. I can initiate a wire transfer. It'll go through the system, and in most cases, seconds to minutes, a payment is recognized on the receiving end. This will be a much lower cost and more instantaneous method of paying vendors, paying people, et cetera.
So give us a sense of how this would work in the real world and who this is going to benefit the most.
Well, I think it's the near term has already immediate payment around individuals and consumers. So people-to-people, person-to-person type of payments, that's happening today.
Right,
it
right.
has been for a while. The next real movement is really around corporations. And I think what you'll see, in my opinion, is larger companies that have the technology already embedded in their systems and their workstations and so forth, they'll be the immediate benefactors of paying one another, but also receiving payments maybe from a smaller provider mm-hmm. or paying a smaller provider. The ability to manage cash and certainty of payment is really an advantage to people. So if you know, hey, I know at 10 o'clock I'm expecting payment from ABC company, you can manage your cash position that day and take advantage of better rates, lower rates of borrowing, things of that mm-hmm. nature. So I think in the beginning, you'll see larger companies that have the technology already available today, working with the rails that are being built and are in some cases being utilized already for real-time payments.
So company treasurers are going to probably have already been used to doing this already, right?
They have, especially if they've got international type of payments. So again, Europe has been in this position for some time. So if you have a multinational that does business around the globe, they've been accustomed to this in significant ways already. And the U.S. is really a laggard on that front in some contexts.
There was a survey posted in a story about this on Euromoney.com that gauged just that, was the negative and positive connotations of this. The positive impact, according to the survey, was 87%. The negative was about 8%. So there really is, because the question I was going to ask is, what is the negative here?
Well, I think it depends which side of the ledger you're on. Okay, so say you're a small company and your cash is not as strong as a large company. Mm-hmm. It could put you in a negative position, conceivably, where you have to pay sooner than maybe you wanted to, or that payment is going to get there faster than you wanted it to in the past. Yeah. So that could be a negative. The positive, again, on the receiving end, there is company who says, hey, if you want to do business with me, we're going to utilize this payment method. I know, again, 10 o'clock, I'm going to have a payment in my inbox here.
From a consumer level, this reminds me of people I know that still have paper checks, that still use paper checks, and I don't want to use the word that we would normally call that, where they would purposely put a check off so they would post-date. I guess post-dated is the best way to describe that, where they still know that, okay, I don't have this money in my checking account today, but in 5 days when it clears, it'll be there. Those people are going to be negatively affected.
Very much right? So, yeah. Yes.
So, in other words, have the money in your account before you use it.
I'd advise that anyway, but yeah, absolutely.
I did this recently. I think the last time we talked, I was toying with the idea of trying one of these payment systems for a vendor that I used to do work around my house. And I set it up, used it. Instantly, they had the money. They were standing right next to me, and they're like, oh, I got it. Here it is.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it really is. So what would be the timeline for seeing this expand, do you think?
I would really, again, it's happening today in a very, very small corner of our economy already today. It is happening currently. So there are real-time payments that have been affected, are being affected today. It's very, very small. If you put a percentage on it, it'd be less than 1% of a 1%. Mm-hmm. I think in the coming 2-3 years, as this broadens out and the technology really catches up, it's going to become more mainstream. And then I'd say 5 years out, it'll be very mainstream. Could be sooner, but yeah. That'd be kind of the horizon I'd be looking at.
Still on the topic of technology, interesting story from AmericanBanker.com about why banking could use more folks who come in with STEM training, STEM skills. That's science, technology, engineering, and math. You would think math would already be there with bankers, but what's the idea here that the technology that we've been discussing, you need people who understand it, I'm guessing.
You do. And, you know, an organization at the very top of the organization needs people that understand technology, number one, and are willing and able to adopt it within their organizations. It doesn't have an immediate payment back to you, I can tell you, but not investing in it at the speed of change that we're experiencing today puts you in a very, very uncompetitive position very quickly. So I think the notion that you're getting at here is banks don't just lend money anymore. We don't just take deposits and lend money. We're a technology-driven organization. Customers expect that, both from a consumer and certainly in my corporate space, expect you to have digitization of your product set, your information. It has to be as close to real time in terms of information flow, payment flows. And not having that, again, you rapidly fall behind the competitors.
I'm guessing there was a time when you'd walk into a bank and you'd see a lot of folks that had accounting degrees, maybe MBAs, those sorts of backgrounds. And what we're talking about is you need more people that are software engineers, data scientists, other things like that who have that background.
You do. And I will tell you, it's difficult for banks as a whole to attract those people. You know, people that are technology-driven young people that are getting out of school, they want to go develop apps, okay? And so going to a bank is not the sexiest or most exciting thing for those people. So building your organizations to where you can attract different levels of people and experiences is difficult but very, very necessary. And I think this is where we've talked before about the fintechs, okay? Mm-hmm. So somebody goes and develops an app or a specific solution. They then sell it to the bank or partner with the bank as opposed to working at the bank. So I think you need a combination of multiple things, but you absolutely have to have a management team that understands the importance of technology.
Do you foresee a time, and maybe this is already happening in the industry, where you have, I think if you imagine going into the Google headquarters with nap pods and games and all kinds of people walking around in shorts, and is that the kind of thing where you have to meld the two environments?
It is happening today, and yes, you do. I think back, you know, a number of years ago when I worked at another institution that was fairly very large, and we acquired an interesting technology around healthcare. Well, we bought them. They're a great, great small firm. We tried to embed them in the bank and make them bankers. It didn't work. And so being able to recognize that you have to create the environment for these people to be successful, one, to attract them, but to keep them as well.
I'm guessing from an executive's point of view, you have to be kind of trustworthy. You have to trust some of these folks.
Absolutely.
I was almost going to call them kids, but you have to trust some of them, right?
You do. And you know, the other side is, take for myself, they think differently. And you have to be able to allow them to have the environment where they can develop that thinking and then take it with other people, too, that don't necessarily have that today, but develop them with that different level of thinking as well.
Is Associated Bank doing any kind of outreach in this area? I know some banks in this story talks about how banks are going to schools and getting involved with STEM education. Is that happening in Associated?
It is, and I think it's going to expand here in the coming months to years. I've seen just this week some plans the bank does have, in fact, to develop out more of a think tank and a development mm-hmm. unit. Today, we utilize and rely upon vendor type of solutions, which isn't bad, but it isn't creating the next greatest thing yourself. You're buying something that already has been great and embedding it in your company at that point. So yes, in fact, we are doing that.
As much as the environment is important for folks who we're talking about from these demographics, money too is probably important. What kind of salaries are we talking about in the banking industry for folks who are coming in like this?
I think we're competitive from a salary perspective. I think the bigger issue for banks is just the importance and interest that these folks have. Many of these young people are really less interested in the dollar and cents versus what can they do and what technologies will they be able to have their hands in. And honestly, we're behind on that. Banks are behind.
So I'm hearing that, hey, the door's open. Come on in and talk. We'll make a deal.
I think that would be a really good, helpful thing for all of us.
Let's talk about some good news at Associated. The bank mutual signs are coming down. And that this merger is done now.
It is. The 23rd of June, we had our full-fledged integration and conversion over a weekend. And knock on wood, there's always some small elements that you didn't think of or that need to be tied up. And we're still having a few of those. But in a general sense, it was very, very transparent to our clients and I'd say a real, real good success for the bank.
You mentioned the transparency here. I'm guessing that means that if you're a customer, you probably didn't notice this.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
We did have a couple of, even our corporate customers said, I didn't even know Bank Mutual got bought. So I guess that's a good sign that they didn't feel any negative impact, but all of a sudden they were being called on by an Associated Bank employee.
We've seen a lot of merger and acquisition happen this year, right? Do you foresee some more coming?
I see it accelerating. Yeah. I think with the changes of the $50 billion to 250, I think you're going to see a rapid acceleration of things.
Do you think it's going to be in the mid-market or all of the different areas?
I think it's going to be more middle market, smaller banks combining, but then middle-sized banks combining the efficiencies that can be gained in the again, back to the technology that you can leverage at an organization that's larger is significant. I think you'll see an acceleration of that.
Is there anything out there in the industry that or in the economy that is concerning you right now from a banking standpoint?
You know, this tariff thing, I think, has the possibility of having some negative impacts, especially in the Midwest, the Midwest is so strong right now. You know, the unemployment being so low. The tariffs, I think, create an instability we didn't really need. Maybe in the end it will be a good outcome. I don't know. But I think that's the one item. Rising rates, good for some, not good for everybody. But it's a reality we're going to experience in the coming years. And it's necessary and overdue probably. But rising rates will push some people to not be able to borrow that ordinarily could have. So I think in a general sense, I think things look very positive. But there are some things that we're very long also into the cycle. I mean, we're way into this expansion cycle. And eventually it will change.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the Midwest impacts of this. We've already seen Harley-Davidson up in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Even though they've broke ground on the new Foxconn plant, the thought of losing maybe some car jobs, automotive jobs, these are big Midwest companies.
Yes, and the agricultural element, too, is significant.
Chuck, always good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Chuck Garcia is the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. You can listen to past conversations over at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. And make sure you follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and to hear more there as well.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Winston, a new Chicago startup founded earlier this year, has built a hardware device for your home that protects your privacy. Winston connects to your cable modem and wireless router and keeps you from being hacked, tracked, and makes sure all your home's connected devices are safe from online bad guys. 2 years after it acquired local construction software company Textura, Oracle is building a technology center at the company's former Deerfield headquarters. Oracle is building a mock construction site, which will allow it to test technology products like drones and augmented reality. And well-known New York venture firm Graycroft said its most successful exits recently have come from outside the coasts, especially in places like Alabama and Chicago. Its Chicago investments include Braintree, which was acquired by PayPal for $800 million. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. David Hochberg is the Vice President of mortgage lending at Pearl Mortgage, a familiar voice, a familiar face here on The Opening Bell as well. And he is in with us this morning. David, good morning.
Good morning with the mics on.
Yeah,
how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, and we appreciate you being in this morning. And I know you've got a big event coming up, and Orion Samuelson is going to be a part of it. Let's talk a little bit about reverse mortgages and what you're going to be doing with this seminar.
Reverse mortgages, for the listeners that don't know what reverse mortgages are, it's the most one of the most wonderful products that we offer in the lending environment, but it's the most misunderstood loan in the lending space. It is a loan that experienced homeowners, at least one of the homeowners has to be 61 and a half years old. You can take out a reverse mortgage and elect to defer the payment. You could also take out and what does that mean? That means you're going to get a mortgage bill every single month, and you could say, you know what, I don't feel like paying it this month. And if you don't pay it, then the mortgage payment gets added to the mortgage loan amount. So the mortgage amount builds instead of goes down in a normal mortgage. Now, some people are like, oh, that's terrible. That's that's horrible. You're adding equity to your home. Well, here, you know, the yin to that yang is this. Number one, the experienced homeowners that we're talking with every single day have exceeded their lifespan of their retirement assets. So they don't have any retirement assets anymore. The only asset they have is the home that's typically paid off that they're living in every single month and every single day. The other challenge that we face is that the Social Security checks and the pension checks that our experienced homeowners are receiving are now not covering the real estate taxes and the monthly expenses that they have to take care of. The other challenge that we're seeing is that the kids of the parents living in these homes that are paid off most of the time are helping their parents get through the month by supplementing their income with checks out of their own savings account, which they can't afford. The other challenge we're seeing is that the kids, in addition to writing the checks, are also going to check mom and dad out every single day to make sure that they're getting out of bed, they're not falling, the housework is being done, they're making meals. They can't afford to hire a caretaker. So instead of burning the candle on both ends on their side, they can't afford to bring somebody in to take care of mom and dad. So a reverse mortgage, Steve, is a phenomenal product when used effectively in the right situation to accomplish somebody's retirement goals and to take the pressure off of their retirement lifestyle. That's what it's all about. It's a great loan. It's next Friday, by the way, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Del Webb and Huntley with Orion Samuelson.
One of the other things that's going into this is that now with the baby boomers aging at a daily rate of 10,000, I think, is the retirement
age. And living longer.
Yes. But also doing this thing, aging in place. People want to stay in their homes. They don't want to have to be shipped off to some
retirement community
or whatever. This is helping facilitate that.
Sure. It enables experience. I don't like to call them, you know, senior citizens. It's just a word that drives me crazy. Because when I get in 14 years, I'm going to be in that category. It's going to drive me crazy and I don't want anybody to call me a senior citizen. So experienced homeowners,
right? I love that.
You know, we get calls every single week from individuals who's promised their mom or dad on their deathbed that I'm going to keep mom in the house. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, just recently, 65, 66-year-old individual, WGN listener, she was living in her own house. Mom is 95, 96 years old. God bless her. Father on his deathbed said, please promise me before I go that you'll keep mom in the house. Okay, the house that they bought had their kids that they've lived in for the past 50 years, okay? Mom's on oxygen. Mom doesn't want to leave the house. And the daughter on her father's deathbed says, of course, Dad, I'm going to take care of it. So what does daughter do? Moves in with mom. Mom's 96 years old, living in a $400,000 home that she owns free and clear. 60-some-year-old daughter's tapped out, okay, doesn't have any money. Mom's major concern for the 60-year-old daughter is, please take care of my burial expenses so it's not a burden on you. $14,000 is what the burial expenses are with what the package or whatever you want to call it that the mother would like to be buried with. Okay, right. Fine. 14 grand. Also, mom's 95, 96-year-old individual. It's having a tough time getting around the home. Home hasn't been updated in over 20, 30 years. I'm not saying blow out the bathroom and put, you know, granite countertops. You know, just make it a little easier for this wonderful lady to get around and enjoy the rest of her life. So we're in the process of taking out a $250,000. Home is free and clear, Steve. 60-year-old daughter doesn't have any money. Mom's 95, 96, living in a $400,000 home, qualifies for a $250,000 reverse mortgage loan. Okay, guess what? That 250 grand is going to enable this lady to take care of her mother a lot better than she's able to take care of her right now, and also have a life. Okay, yeah. Enjoy her life as a 60-some-year-old individual and not be tied to the house with mom. Not that it's bad to be with mom, but, you know, you need some time for your own, or else you're going to go crazy, you know, worrying about everything. You're going to need some help. So that it enables her to do that. It's a perfect example.
Well, and it's the quality of life aspect of all of this.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
David, what are the questions? I mean, you have the. I'm sure you have these seminars all the time. What are the questions that people, because I'm sure people come to you and say, David, this sounds too good to be true.
Sure. Government's going to take my home.
Right.
Wrong. The government's got enough problems. Okay, just turn the TV on. The government's not going to take your home. You own the home. What happens if I go before my spouse goes? You stay in the home. The government's not going to kick you out of your home. This sounds too good to be true. It can't be true. Well, it is true. It's a Federal Housing Authority loan. It's an FHA loan, and it's insured by the government. So you're 100%. Good to go. What happens if we go through another 07 and 08 and we owe 400 and the house is worth 200? Don't worry about it. You sell the house, the lender files an insurance claim with FHA because it's an FHA loan, makes up the difference. Well, I'm going to be taxed on that money. No, you won't. That money is tax-free. Well, I don't want, you know, all of I've got all of these questions, and my financial planner says it's a terrible loan. Well, your financial planner, in all due respect, the financial planner doesn't know what he or she is talking about, because we're closing on a loan for financial planner's parents at the end of this week. I think tomorrow, a financial planner referred his parents to us,
sure.
And I talked to his parents. Guess what? We're paying off a mortgage, eliminating, paying off $190-some-thousand mortgage, freeing up. Now, they can elect to make the mortgage payment if they want. They've got $40,000 worth of credit card debt. We're allowing them to make the decision, make the mortgage payment or defer the payment, and use the $1,800 mortgage payment that they were paying to pay off $40,000 worth of credit card debt. Guess what they're doing? They're going to eliminate $20,000 worth of credit card debt in 1 year, and then by the second year, they're going to move that payment that was going to pay their mortgage down, and they got a ton of equity in their home, to pay off their debt. That $40,000 worth of credit card debt was costing them $1,600 a month. Do the math. There's $3,400 a month within a year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dough.
Do the math.
And this is a financial planner, and I'll leave you on this, okay? My mother, as most people know, recently passed away. I tried to put my parents into a reverse mortgage. Unfortunately, their home didn't appraise. Now, there's two examples. Me, the guy talked about reverse mortgages, was going to put my parents into one, but I ordered the appraisal. We went through the credit counseling stuff that we have to go through the counseling. We ordered the appraisal. Appraisal came in about $40,000, $50,000 late. We couldn't do it. If the appraisal came in at the number that my parents thought their house was worth, like everybody thought their house was worth more money, my parents would have been in a reverse mortgage. So you've got me would have put my parents in a reverse mortgage. And I love my parent. I love my mom. May she rest in peace. I still love my dad. He, you know, we sold the house. And a financial planner is calling us to have me talk to his parents. What does that tell you? It's a great product,
well,
if used effectively.
And not only that, you have Orion Samuelson on board as well.
Sure, and he's a wonderful, and you know, I mean, Orion is like, I met him and his beautiful wife, Gloria, shockingly enough, at Jameson Steakhouse at Huntley, in Huntley at the Del Webb, and it was like having coffee with Elvis. I mean, everybody's like, is that Orion Samuelson? I'm like, who else is it? Who's got a voice like that? I'm like, of course it's Orion Samuelson. So our half-hour coffee turned into a two-and-a-half-hour meeting because we had everybody coming over, taking autographs and pictures and everything.
Yeah.
So Orion's going to help me out 3 to 5 next Friday. It's a free event, Steve, and I encourage all the listeners to just go to reversedavid.com. It's a website I set up. You could go there. Bring as many people as you want. Seats are 300. We've only started promoting it late last week, and we started running commercials this week. You'll hear a number of commercials next week. We already have 137 people signed up as of yesterday.
Wow.
So it's seats 3. We could add another 50. Please come out. Bring your parents with you. Bring your brothers and sisters with you. Financial planners. If you want to learn more about this, please. Realtors. It's the largest and most affluent segment of the real estate community. You could buy a home with a reverse mortgage, okay? Home buyers looking to downsize. You could get what you want in your retirement home and only put down 50%, because that's typically what you need with a reverse mortgage to buy it, and it's based upon age and qualifications and all that stuff. The older you are, the more you qualify for. But you can buy a home, your retirement home, with a reverse mortgage. Financial planners, if you want to learn how to keep that money invested, your client's money invested, and have it grow from 60 to 70 until they have to take the RMD, this is a great plan to keep that money in the market and invested in the investment products and let them live off their home. people that are affluent who are taking their RMD. You can live off your tax-free. The money coming out of the home is tax-free. You can live off that income and reduce the amount of the RMD, required minimum distribution, so you don't get taxed on that money. You get taxed on that money and let it grow. You don't get taxed on the money coming out of your home. If you're a senior citizen, if you're an experienced homeowner, right, and you want to live off your home to kick your Social Security out until you're 70 to pick up 30%. I know you have to make it to 70 in order to get the extra 30%.
Yeah.
But if you want to defer your Social Security income and pick up another 30% when you cross over that threshold, whatever it is, and you have equity in your home, live off the equity of your home. You're just deferring the payment, okay? So a lot of things going on there in the past 7 to 8 minutes that I talked about, but we're going to be spending 2 hours. Come meet Orion Samuelson, the legend. And, I'd love to meet. It's free, 3 to 5, Del Webb Huntley. There'll be refreshments from Jameson Steakhouse. Come on out. We're going to stay there as long as we have to answer everybody's questions.
And the website again is
ReverseDavid.com, ReverseDavid.com. There's a text field there, Steve, where people could insert their questions that they want me to answer. I'm going to build the entire seminar like I always do when I do these seminars around the questions that people submit. So we're going to be answering your questions while you're sitting there. I'm not going to be talking at you. I'm going to be answering your questions because a lot of people have the same question. We're getting a ton of great questions. So I encourage everybody, ReverseDavid.com. It's free. FREE, ReverseDavid.com.
David, it's good to see you. Come back again sometime.
Yes, I will, buddy.
All right.
Thanks,
David,
man.
David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. Head out to the seminar, and we'll have David back for a longer conversation. Lots more questions about other stuff as well.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses at the start on Wall Street today. Dow futures are down 60 points. NASDAQ futures off about 30 points. S&P futures are down about 8. Gold and silver are both trading lower. Now the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Look at the grain market yesterday. Saw wheat trading one way, down 3.5 cents in the nearby contract. But corn and soybeans trading the other way. September corn up 0.5 cent and August soybeans up 2.5 cents a bushel. And in the livestock trade yesterday, lean hog futures again under some pressure for the third day in a row, turning lower, hitting new contract lows on worries that mounting trade tensions with overseas buyers will cause supplies of pork to rise. So the October lean hog contract ended down 15 cents a hundredweight. August live cattle up $2.67, and August feeder cattle ended the day up $3.27. The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Mike Conaway of Texas, made the following statement yesterday afternoon. He said, "Today we move one step closer to delivering a strong new farm bill to the president's desk on time, as he has called on Congress to do. American farmers and ranchers in rural America struggling right now, and they deserve the certainty of a strong farm bill to see them through better times." And President Trump said yesterday that he will enter the discussion to hammer out a separate trade deal with Mexico and then do a separate trade deal with Canada later. So that caused concern about the future of NAFTA. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Real quickly before we leave you, on the earnings calendar today, Chicago's MB Financial reporting a second quarter profit of $38.5 million this morning. The bank says it had earnings of 42 cents per share, earnings adjusted for non-recurring costs at 68 cents per share. The results meeting Wall Street expectations. The holding company for MB Financial Bank posted revenue of $275.3 million during that period, surpassing Wall Street estimates. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Thursday, July 19th. Other earnings today include Domino's and Microsoft. Also today, Freddie Mac releases weekly mortgage rates. Union Pacific also on the earnings calendar today. We'll also get a report on initial jobless claims. The Philadelphia Fed Business Outlook surveys due. Also, the EIA Natural Gas Report and Leading Indicators report due out today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, July the 19th.